are you tonight? You mean you're still alive? Oh, gee. That's rough. That's rough. This was the what? 20 Nav, AD 12, St. Hill Special Breathing Course, Lecture 1. All right, you might be interested that a couple of goals have been found this week. I don't know how this happened. Must have been an accident of some sort or another. Let me point out something to you. They were there all the time to be found. Horrible. You don't realize what a horrible crack that is. Now, there is a very distinct possibility that with finding these bypassed items, you'll start getting some free needles. He bypassed a lot of items in listing. Got a rock slam and didn't find out anything about it, and there it was, and so forth, see. And once you've got those picked up, why, you'll have free needle. Now, a free needle is a needle that doesn't read. It's not stuck. The E-meter has to be turned on. And when you ask questions, it doesn't respond. It differs from an ARC broke needle, basically on the aspect of the PC. And if any of you have ever accidentally looked across to the chair across from you there, you will see there's a great deal can be learned from the PC. Really, a great deal can be learned from the PC. I would point that out to you as one of the fundamentals of auditing. You might have overlooked it. Okay? All right. Well, enough of these pleasant preliminaries. Let's get on with a lecture, huh? I'm not going to give you the basic lecture on the fundamentals of auditing. But I'm going to point some few things out to you which you might find of considerable use in auditing. The auditor who isn't getting any place basically isn't perceiving the existence of the PC. He isn't perceiving the PC. That's the crux of the thing. Therefore, you can absolutely count on the fact that an auditor who has an op term on the third and fourth dynamic, that an op term on the third or fourth dynamic is liable to make a lousy auditor. Why? It's not that he's in a games condition. Not that he's in a games condition. That's not the point. It's something else. It's perception. I want to tell you something about these items you see busily rock slamming. I don't think you know very much about these items that rock slam like crazy on the meter in front of you. You don't adjudicate the rest of the stuff that can be picked up off these items. These items mean a great deal more than simply a rock slam on a meter. You get rock slamming items, you're getting the PC toward Claire. That is the road to Claire, is milestone by rock slamming items. He isn't going anyplace else. He's going clear. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you find these items. It doesn't matter a bit. I can tell you 8,767 methods almost off the bat to turn on a rock slamming item. It doesn't matter how you turn on this rock slamming item. You got an item. And the PC is on the road to clear. And that's all there is to that. And now I've looked this thing over very, very carefully, and I have found out that when the PC doesn't get the other side of the package...
He's going to stop right there with that rock-slamming item you just found. There it is.
He knows now. Now, how does he know? What does he know? What does he know? Do you ever realize that the way to make somebody feel like they know without knowing anything is just give them a good, swift kick? Now he knows. Matter of fact, there's a disgraceful comic strip in the Herald Tribune about the Army. And it's disgraceful because it brags up the Army all the time, all the time, all the time. Advertise, advertise, advertise. You know? It's got a sergeant and it's got a character named Beetle. And seems like this Beetle, who is a gold brick, he's not as good as I used to be at the gold bricking, but he's pretty good in an amateur sort of way. Gold bricking is a fine art, man. It is a fine art. Now, it's that action taken by an individual who, finding himself in a position which he doesn't like, decides to make the best of it. He can do this so artistically, he winds up with a medal. Anyhow, Beetle was apparently complaining about all of the rough go and how he was sick and couldn't go out on the obstacle course or something like that. So the sergeant took him out to the door and kicked him good and hard down the steps. Good swift kick. And Beetle was sitting there amongst the soup kitchen stuff, saying to his pal, "And you know, I do feel better." Of course, the sergeant had said, "I'll cure it," as just at the moment of impact. So, of course, he gave him an engram, and he feels better, and there's Beetle. I thought that was very, very subtle for a comic strip to pick up. Now, an impact gives a sensation of knowingness. People think they know something. That will teach you a lesson is one of the greatest cliches ever uttered. But it is quite fundamental. It's based on this same business. Two automobiles come together with a crash. And those that survive it now know better. But they have an actual sensation of knowing something. Now, the PC... is in a mystery sandwich. There he is, and the mystery glues him to the GPM, see? Now, what's it all about? He doesn't know what it's all about. So you've come down the line, and you found something on which he has impacts and from which he has suffered impacts. His overts and withhold at this point are accompanied by not... A rock-slamming item does not run like this. "I don't like little girls." See? After that, the item "little girls" doesn't rock slam. You got the idea. So when you find this, you haven't got the result of having said this. Nor have you got the result of him having slapped some little girl's wrist. See, or having taken some candy away from some little girl. I hope I'm making my point here. A rock-slamming item has mayhem with exclamation points behind it. It's got impact like mad. And it's much to his amazement as he runs on down the track and he thinks he's cleaned all this up to find out that one of his pastimes, you see, was eating little girls after cooking them slowly alive over fires, you see. There was something went along with this rock-slamming item. Now, the amount of drama that I have pointed out to you contained in the overt or contained in the withhold has nothing to do with it. See, the significance, the dramatic story behind the overts of the PC as you pull overts off of him
have nothing to do. It's what he considers at that particular time an overt. And what he can take responsibility for. And you'll pull as much as he can take responsibility for, and you won't pull any more than that. But there we're talking just about overts. Talking about nice little overts. Don't have anything much to do with the price of fish. You got to pull them in order to get a PC on the road. You're talking about overts there. You're not talking about items. Now, a rock-slamming item doesn't have Drama behind it. It has Band in Boston behind it. It's too brutal, too inhuman, and too this and too that to suffer print. And that applies to any PC you allotted on the GPM line. Wasn't the result, this rock-slamming item, is not as a result of accumulated slappings of wrists, you see. This is wiping out the countryside every now and then, don't you know? That rock slam means something. Now, in view of the fact that a rock-slamming item can impart its rock slam as a lock can be hooked onto an engram and then read, you see. This lock doesn't have any, going back to Dianetics, Modern Science, Mental Health, this lock doesn't have any punch in it. He saw a man with a bandaged face, you see. And this clicks on the meter. Why does it click on the meter? There's no impact in it. Just saw a man with a bandaged face. Well, that read is borrowed away from an engram which has impact in it. The force is involved here, but that force can impart up the line so that things without force then tend to borrow some of that force and give you a read. See? What you've got is a restimulation of the force is what's reading. Now, similarly, you can very often get a reliable item, apparently reliable item, that doesn't have very much force in it, which has borrowed its rock slam. But on assessment, you'll find out this person is rock slamming like mad on Scientology. There's no impacts involved in Scientology, don't you think? That isn't because there's any impacts involved or any force involved. It'll be something that's quite like Scientology, but it really has force in it. And you get that rock slam has been borrowed from this other item. Well, you could get that other item by representing Scientology. But you take a rock slammer, all you've got to do is oppose the thing you find him rock slamming on. You know, he's rock slamming on Scientology or an auditor or something like that. You find this person rock slamming on that. You want to cool that off or get the case any place, you've got to oppose that rock slam. Who or what would oppose whatever you found rock slamming? Now, if you represent this item, you'll find out he was really rock slamming on something else. You see, you get the real item that underlies it. But that doesn't matter, because he's in the atmosphere of Scientology, it's in restimulation all the time, and you're never even going to get down and pull that other item until you give it an opposition. You see that? So you could use a rock slammer against Scientology or against a Scientology organization or any of the parts of Scientology. You could use that rock slam just by listing goals against it. What goal might you have to be an overt against Scientology? You could list goals against it directly. But look at it. It's a soft item. It really doesn't have the violence back of it. It doesn't go very far down the track. Very short-term proposition. So it's rock slams liable to fold up under a little bit of treatment or a little bit of listing or a little bit of that, something of the sort. It's not a good item to list goals against because it isn't firm, because it has no force behind it. It doesn't matter how well it rock slams or how repetitively it rock slams on the meter. See? It must have borrowed its rock slam from something else that did have force in it. See? You follow this? The character of the rock slam doesn't tell you, but the ease with which the slam folds up tells you. Now, some of these rock slamming items fold up. You find them in a session, and they slam, 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 slam. End of the session, you can still get them slam, slam, slam. You pick them up next session, and nothing. What happened to them? Well, obviously, merely the exposure of it brought it as a lock into view, and so evaporated it. You must have been next door to a rock-slamming item. Let's see. It must have been a lock on top of it, just like Scientology. Let's say he has a long history of burning hospitals. You know, a good military background of burning hospitals. Every time he saw the Red Cross, he said, well, obviously using that as an HQ, so he bombed it. You see? He just couldn't ever resist, because he knew that all hospitals were false. Well, after he's gone on for a long time, the mere breath of the idea that anybody's going to heal anything, see, as far departed as the FDA is from the facts in the United States, see, and he'll rock slam on Scientology. But it's a lock rock slam, don't you see? That doesn't make it any less a reliable item. You use it in all ways that you would use any reliable item. But just remember, it's going to fold up awful fast. See? It's a cousin. It isn't the thing. Now, you've got to oppose it, though. If it rock slammed, if you found it, located it, checked it out, and it slammed, you got to oppose it. Because there's some other terminal or op term which is right next door to it, which is also a lock, which will slam as heavy as it. And if you go on down and find something else on the case, you find another op term. You found this Scientology is an op term. Now you found another op term below that by represent. You've left some kind of a lockup over here, which the PC is. And it's got some pain in it, and the PC's going to hang right there. It doesn't matter. It's going to be light. It's going to be nothing, see? But nevertheless, it's there. And the case hangs up right at that point. Now, the case starts into this rock slam channel, then, at any little point. And there's just dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens, countless dozens of ways to get him into the Rock Slam channel. You can take almost any part of Scientology and get him into the Rock Slam channel with it. You can take Midroots and get him into the Rock Slam channel. You know, once in a while this PC has a withhold from me, and then Session is consistently dirty. Session's consistently dirty. Get a dirty read every time I say Session. Sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it does, and sometimes there's a dial-wide rock slam. When anything goes wrong with a session, the PC has a little withhold in the session of some kind or another, we get a dial-wide rock slam. Well, that's an open bid to get the rock slam channel. Get whatever you can that is closest to it. Session, auditing, something like that. Opposition it. Anything that'll turn that rock slam on, see? Just fish around till you get something. Turn on a rock slam. Oppose it, put the two down on your line plot. You've entered the rock slam channel. You see, if it slams, you can enter the rock slam channel. And at the end of that channel is the goal. And that channel leads down between terminals and upterms. If you figured a road which had large black balls getting progressively bigger on the left-hand curb and the right-hand curb, and as you drove down that road with these great big black spheres to the right of you and to the left of you, a pair each time, and you kept driving between big black spheres, a pair every time, you go over a horizon sooner or later down to the end and find a puff of nothing, and that would be the goal. That's the way the thing maps. However, the PC, by getting it all locked up and messed up and keyed in and monkeyed up one way or the other, has got this roadway pretty well twisted up from where he sits. But it is never twisted up from where the auditor sits. For the PC, it looks like the end of the road is at the beginning of the road, is at the end of the road, that it's all tied in a bowling on a bite in the middle of the road, that it's all a black mass. No, no. It is not to the auditor. It is just a road,
And it's got a black ball on the right and a black ball on the left, and all the black balls on the left are opterms, and all the black balls on the right are terminals. And these things are always in pairs, and when you find a pair of them, they rock slam against each other. And you go down the road, and you keep driving down the road, and you drive far enough down the road, you're going to run into a goal. And then it's easy to drive down the road because you know what you're driving on. And you keep on driving, and you get to the end of the pairs of black balls, and you get the rock and the op rock, and everything goes poof. You got it clear on your hands. That's an easy road to travel. It is far easier than you're making it. Far easier. I've been conducting a whole bunch of series, a whole series of test audits of one kind or another. I've been going over this subject, wow. Really diving in here and there and straightening out this point and that point about it. The only reason the auditor can only drive one pair, two pair of black balls down this road is because he hasn't driven by pairs. He got an op term and an op term, and then he got a terminal and a terminal, and then he got an op term, and all of a sudden the road's barriered. It's a landslide. Why can't he go any further? You might say it's the magnetic attraction. Those terminals and op terms which he didn't pair up. And when he didn't pair up a pair, he left something that will drag him back. And he will see that drag back expressed in a rising, sticking tone arm. Tone arm go up 4.5, 5, or go low. Can also go low. Case making no progress. Case gives you the same items over and over and over. It's like you were driving down this highway, see? You were going lickety-split down the highway, and you were doing about 80. And you say, oh, man, this is really the most, you know, flat, easy. We're getting terminals and everything going along fine and so forth. And all of a sudden, it's just like somebody put a jack under the rear wheels. And, man, you step on that accelerator, you know. That engine roars, but there's no traction. And you just keep punching the accelerator. Of course, a good thing to do at that time is vent your temper on the PC. Why? What's all this? Well, it's just the fact that you passed one of those spheres back there, and it's still back there. PC can't go any further. His attention's being dragged back to that. Now, what is this sphere? What is this sphere? The sphere is something the PC knows. The PC knows. Why? Because in any one of these pairs, unless they're locked pairs, and you can't tell the difference between a locked pair and a real pair, there's impact. And that rock slam carries, even if there wasn't any force involved and it was just a lock, you know, it still carries the idea of knowingness. But you get one of these with real force in it and try to bypass it, and he thinks of knowledge as behind him. There's something over there he should know about, and he just sticks to it. He sticks to the mystery of it all. What is it? Anytime you get him into one of these terminals or op terms, he says he knows something, and he cognites like mad. He's telling you he knows. And actually, during the ensuing day or two, he's liable to try to add up his whole life into this, you see. He's found little girls, you see, as an op term. And now he's added up all of his life and his whole track and everything from 200 trillion years ago and everything he does and the significance of the way he holds his teaspoons, you see. This is all added up into this one terminal or this one op term. And, of course, he's trying to integrate his whole case into about 1/1000th of his case. Not to give you an idea that there's 1,000 of these things, but it's that small a percentage. Why does he have the feeling like it contains all the answers? It's because it's got force and impact in it, don't you see? Give anything force and impact enough, and somebody thinks it has all the answers. If you were to take somebody out in the middle of the sidewalk and kick him for half an hour,
Every time he passed the spot, if you could get him near the spot, he would have an idea that he knew. He wouldn't know what he knew, but he'd have an idea that he knew something. The result of impact is a sensation that one knows. It's a sensation of knowingness. That's why people teach a lesson by punishment. This is one of the big mechanisms of this whole universe, is the lesson by punishment. If we spank Johnny, he will know. Of course, you get Johnny through his spankings, and he'll run off the sensation of knowing, even if he only knows his father's no good. See, he'll got some knowingness mixed up with this, don't you think? His knowledge is not actual knowledge, but something dragged through force. There's no real knowingness about it at all. It's the illusion of knowingness. The Russians have got this so badly in dialectic materialism. That's not an electronic activity. That's the whole philosophy of Russia's forward progress. Is all knowledge comes from two forces. I could be very erudite on the subject, but I don't think anything as horrible, as illogical, as dialectic materialism should be given the courtesy of a proper rendition. They're dramatizing the GPM. Knowledge is the product of two forces. That's funny. Right? Of course, you get some zone or area of the world where it's hot all the time and cold all the time. In summer, it's roaring hot, and in the winter, it's roaring cold. Now, I've seen horse biscuits jump up in the air and explode in Vladivostok. It gets cold, man. You think it's cold in England. You got nothing, man. Nothing. It gets cold. It's very difficult sometimes knowing after you've shaken hands with someone if you've taken your hand back, you know. Might have just snapped off in the process. And, of course, this goony race would be so keyed in they wouldn't know whether they were coming or going. And they would deal a whole philosophy off the GPM. They aberrate it. All knowledge is the product of two forces. If you really want to know something, get two tractors, rush them at each other at 1,000 miles an hour, and you'll have the political answer to the situation, obviously. Well, that's how silly this dialectic materialism is. As a study, you have to have two forces, and they have to come into collision. And if you get these two forces into the collision, why, then you can figure something out, and then you can go from there. If you want to know how to repair an automobile, run it over a cliff. Then you will know that it's busted. It's one of these idiotic things. It's taken straight out of the GPM, so. So a PC knows there's knowledge over there someplace, and he wants to know what it is, and he holds up, and he won't accompany you in your automobile 80 miles an hour down this line. He'd go out that way, and you can't get any further down the track because you've got no PC. Where'd the PC go? Well, he's still looking at up term one, which you didn't find. He said, what is this thing? There must be some wonderful knowledge connected with all this, you know. Must be. What is it? I hear something. No? And you can talk to him all you want to. You can say, why isn't your needle clean? You know? Good auditor presence, you know? You're just doing this because you're mad at me, because you haven't got your old auditor. You know, things like that. And he just doesn't unglue at all. He just keeps saying, what's this? It's because the thing's charged up. You found half of it, and he knows there's another half. Call those items which are neglected bypassed items. Those items are bypassed. And the bypassed item is what hangs up the case. Now, this is what I was going to tell you about this research auditing. It's very, very interesting to me. But it doesn't matter how you find the pair. They go on to the line plot in the exact place they're supposed to go, in sequence. And that's the wildest thing I ever saw. Doesn't matter how you find them. If you find them from one line or another line or something, and then you put them down on the line plot, and then we ignore that pair, we find both pair, see, and we go off in some wild race across the countryside, and we pick up some brand new way to get a pair, and we find, you know, another rock slam, and now we opposition it, we put it on the line plot, they're exactly in the right sequence. Oh, that's amazing. You didn't skip a pair, see. It's amazing. I mean, you're lucky. They're always the next consecutive pair, no matter how you found them, if you found both of them. But you won't get the next consecutive pair if you only find one of one thing and then one of another. You have to opposition the thing you find. Whatever you find, opposition it. And then you keep getting proper pairs. When you stop oppositioning what you find and just try to combine two rock-slamming items... Maybe they're a pair and maybe they're not. Well, that's the lesson. But a case in clearing hangs up when you bypass an item. That gives us the rule that everything you find that rock slams must be oppositioned. See, it's oppositioned as itself, not in some other way. Or with some other command, or with anything else. Just opposition it. It's that simple. Who or what would oppose it? I think this is quite remarkable. I think it's quite fantastic that the highway lies there with a sphere on the right and a sphere on the left, and they match together, and they're both at the same location. And when you've got that sphere, you can drive a little further down the highway, and you find a sphere on the right and a sphere on the left, and they match each other. And if you get both of those spheres, then you can go on down the highway a little further, and you can find a sphere on your right and a sphere on your left. And you can get that pair, and then you can go on down the road a little bit further, and you get a sphere on your right and a sphere on your left. It doesn't happen to matter whether you're getting them from the goal or from a wrong goal, as long as it gives pain. Well, you won't get very far with a wrong goal. The case will spin in. But nevertheless, you can get a pair off a wrong goal. And if you abandoned it at the point where you got the pair and didn't go any further with it, you're still all right. Sounds funny. The rule is, as long as it gives pain, you can list it. When it stops giving pain, skip it. You'll just have the goal, probably, of one of the pairs you're now looking for. See? It all depends on this interesting fact. The E-meter will read on what is real or realizable to the PC. The E-meter reads on what is realizable. If the PC can have a reality on it, it'll read on the meter. If the PC can't have a reality on it, you won't get a read on the meter. The rock slam being the biggest manifestation on the meter is that thing you get the biggest reality on. A funny thing, he'll put pairs on, which are three sequences down the line. Three pairs down the line, you see. He's at pair AB. And he'll put stuff on the list, which is at HI, but it won't slam. May tick, but it won't slam. And he'll say, well, there it is. If you got one of these PCs, it's got to be original. Never dares repeat an item. Something like this. Well, sometimes you have a little bit of trouble because he knows he's put alligators on it every list he has so far done. And it's never come up yet. So he's apathetic about alligators just at the time when alligators is about to come up. In other words, the progress which you're making down that track of pairs toward the end of the line, the progress which you're making is milestone by pairs, not milestone by single items. And if you go and bypass one of these items and then never find it and so forth, you've had it. You're not going to go any further. You might find the next pair, and that's it. End of track. Where is it then It lies behind you. All you got to do is equate it up into pairs and it'll roll again, as easy as that. You're dealing with a fantastically precise mechanical electrical fact. It's just that these things are in spheres. What are these spheres? These spheres are old identities. These spheres are held together by the nicest, neatest balance you ever heard of. It's impossible that they have held together all these millennia. But they have. They've just been exactly and neatly balanced. The forces from A to B are the same as the forces from B to A. So they hang up. This is reinforced then by the negative pair. The positive pairs also have negative pairs. Frankly, the reason I haven't brought this up or said very much about it is because it's one of these pedantic points. Because they just look like pairs to the auditor and they do the same thing. There's the not opposed pair. The not opposed pair. And that's the secondary pair. They really don't oppose each other. They oppose the other two in some peculiar way, and so they do oppose each other, so they rock slam. All of which is very complicated, and they're what render the thing up in a ball. But frankly, you needn't pay any attention to them unless you're going to ask a PC just for a pair. You start asking the PC for pairs, and you rapidly learn, as I found out, that you can't ask him for just two pairs which oppose each other. I'm talking now about an auditing command. To clear, a clearing command. Like there's no e-meter, there's no assessments, there's no nothing. I'm searching on this line because we've got something, have something here for the clearing co-audit, see? I've been looking for some method of driving down this track in a clearing co-audit that would take a long time, but would one way or the other wind the PC up there on just raw meat type muzzled auditing, see? I'm looking for this. Apparently be a very lengthy procedure. But nevertheless, I'm pretty sure it can be done. That's as far as I've advanced on that. And one of the things I learned doing that is if you ask him for two things which oppose each other, and then ask him for two things which oppose each other, and then ask him for two things which oppose each other, and then ask him for two things which oppose each other, he'll turn on some of the nastiest somatics you ever wanted to have anything to do with. Oppose, 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 see? Of course, he gives you little things, you know? He gives you items in the room, and he gives you stuff out of his present-time problems, and he gives you stuff of this character. But you nevertheless are getting pairs. Of course, he finally comes up with a $64 pair. Because this is all done by gradients, which the original clearing is. You, in other words, improve his ability to confront to a point where he can confront the first pair and recognize them without the assistance of the meter. And that's really asking you something, man. That's asking something. But you can't do it that way. You have to ask him, tell me two things that oppose each other. Tell me two things that don't oppose each other. Two things that are not in opposition is the better wording. Tell me two things that are in opposition. Tell me two things that are not in opposition. Tell me two things that are in opposition. Tell me two things that are not in opposition. The full package, by the way, that doesn't work very well. You've got to beef it up. Is tell me a problem. What two things in that problem oppose each other or are in opposition? What two things are not in opposition? Tell me a problem. What two things are in opposition? What two things are not in opposition? Tell me a problem. Get the idea. Of course, it's the goal's problem mass, and you theoretically could graduate him up the line and he could run it. But if you just ask him for two things in opposition, tell me a problem, now tell me two things in that problem that oppose each other, you're going to get some of the nastiest non-turn-offable somatics you've seen in a long time. Well, because you're asking for the fundamental pair every time, you never get the secondary pair. Now, how much this means in driving down the road, I haven't equated. I know that for a fact, however, that you have to ask for the opposed and the not opposed. Now, in view of the fact that you're finding things on opposed and not opposed lines when you were listing from the goal, you, of course, are getting things that are not in opposition to each other, even when you oppose things. You see? You say, tell me something that's not in opposition to catching catfish. What would not oppose catching catfish? You do a list, you get a rock slam on it. When you oppose that thing, you've got a pair of non-oppositions. It's very complicated, but it's actually worked into the four lines so that you get additional pairs, and then you can oppose these pairs. You understand? You get an item, you oppose the item. The same rule holds. You get the item, you oppose the item. Now, this opens the door to something interesting, that if you were going in and just listing lines and you never did find the PC's goal, you would undoubtedly have to introduce some other data into his auditing to keep on going indefinitely. You follow me? That opens the fact that but you didn't have his goal, and you've driven halfway down the line between these pairs, and something might start hanging up. Well, you might have to get the non-opposition lines, because you probably skipped some items that didn't oppose. Do you understand? Do you get this? You see, it's a four-way flow, not a two-way flow. And the four-way flow is introduced by the other pair. And they still show up in general auditing just as a pair when you're listing from a goal. When you're listing from the goal, they just show up as an ordinary pair. You don't recognize to the degree that they're influenced by the last pair you found or by the next pair you're going to find. PC doesn't have to recognize this to any degree to get going. Well, let me put it this way. I see you're in a drift. You've got two pairs. From the auditor's viewpoint, you are simply driving down the road, and you'll find A on the right and B on the left. That's one pair. And C on the right and D on the left. That's your second pair. And you've, from where you sit, you have simply passed two pairs. You got it? That is the way it looks from the auditor's viewpoint. In the actual bank, they're not arranged that way. A versus B is crossed by C versus D. That look like two dumbbells, the handles of which are held together. Look much more like this. They expel the things. You've just got, see, pair, 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 see? They have crushed themselves together on this particular line, and this has to do with types of charge. Two of these are retreating so hard that they come together, and the other two are attacking so hard that they come together. You've got various electrical phenomena. You go into the electrical phenomena of this, though, and you'll be blowing your brains out in no time. See, I was trying to tell you why we're not worried about this electrical phenomena. I only introduced this other thing, that by the time you were going to try the idiotic action of clearing somebody without ever finding his goal, you understand, that's not something that you're engaged upon. See? If you went into that, you would have to pay attention to this crossed handles effect to the dumbbells, see? Now you've got to pay attention to it. We're not going to find the guy's goal. So therefore, we're never going to have the four lines. Want, not want, oppose, not oppose, see? We're never going to ask for the not want and the not oppose, and those are the two that'll crash together. Mostly you find the want and not want go together, and the oppose and not oppose go together. That's the way they normally get found. After you've got through oppositioning some item, the PC will say, well, that belongs on the want line, and the other one belongs on the not want line. They tell you where they belong on the lines. Let's say you picked one off not opposed. You were listing not opposed, and you got a rock slam. So you listed the rock slam out very beautifully, and then you nulled that list, and you came up now with a nice, beautiful, rock-slamming, reliable item. Then you said, depending on it, if that thing is an op term, you say, who or what would oppose that nice, big, beautiful item? See? It's always that. If it was a terminal, who or what would it oppose? See? To get your next list. But that's an opposition to it. Then you do your new list with that. Who or what would oppose it? So on. Got that list. You'll find out there'll be something on there, rock slams. Null all this down, beautifully polish it up, and what do you find yourself sitting with? You find yourself sitting with a pair. Now the PC will tell you that this new one belonged on one of these other lines. Also liable to tell you, I never under God's green earth would have put it on that line. See? That was the startling part of it. You actually discovered this thing he would have overlooked. And that is your level of confront. In other words, the PC's level of confront is not quite up to these rock-slamming pairs. And it has to be graduated upscale, gradually, to see more and more rock slam, more and more pairs, more and more and more and more, and you get further and further down the road. He's seeing bigger and bigger things. Do you understand me? He can equate these things. He can put them together. And he said, this is the way it sits, and he'll give you the whole game connected with them. And you say, here's the priest, and here's the Vestal Virgin. Ah, yes. Oh, yes. If you let him, he'd spin you quite a tale. If you'd listen. You could ask him questions about it. Now, you can do all kinds of things with these pairs. You can do anything with them you could do with any process in the last 12 years. Because that's the basic line that you're going toward when you were auditing somebody. You'd head in toward these things. When the PC'd have a big gain, you'd hit one accidentally. When you didn't have any big gain, you didn't hit one. That was what your auditing results to a marked degree depended on. It's whether you got into this rock slam channel or didn't. It was that happenstance with the PC. These pairs got force in them. The force is from the A to the B, don't you see? The force is between the two of them. And they're held in balance, and they remain very badly discharged when you don't find the other half of them, and so forth. And that consists of a game. And A is always in a game's condition with B. You see, one side of the pair is in a game's condition with the other side of the pair. One of these pairs is the PC, the other is the enemy. Invariably, it's the way he equates it. Except when you get a combination terminal, and that's a rock sitting in the middle of the road, and you drive around that. Now, here they are as you go down the line. The amount of force contained in these things is invariably underestimated by the auditor. He does a rough job auditing. The rougher the job of auditing, why, the force is going to hit the PC hard, or that much harder. Now, it's already almost unbearable, because you're auditing the PC in a body which wasn't there at the time he accumulated the mass. So the mass then impinges on the body in some crazy and weird way, and tends to disrupt and upset various portions of the body. But remember, when he was the priest and chasing the Vestal Virgins, he wasn't wearing John Smith, deacon of the local Presbyterian church. So you've always got a body in the road during auditing. And it gets in the road. Now, he'd experience these somatics as a thetan. If he was somewhere outside of his head, he'd still experience them because he's still got mass. See? But your mass is complicated by the presence of a body. And the body goes hot, and the body goes cold, and the body hurts, and the body this, and the body that, and so forth. So you're actually clearing somebody over his alive body.
He has no business wearing that body because it had nothing to do with the dramatis persona of what you're auditing. That you can clear somebody at all with a body kicking around is a monument to your ability. Because it's an extra massive, hard, solid valence which is sitting up in PT, which in itself, every time you find a pair of items, does some discharging. It's always a third factor in the middle of every pair. Now, because this third factor gets mixed up in it, the PC will flinch. He probably wouldn't flinch if you were auditing him out in space someplace with a couple of beams on the E-meter, don't you see? But in a body, he tends to flinch more because he's afraid something will go and knock that body off. And you'll hear a PC every once in a while be very, very chary of going into that any further because part of it is he just can't understand how the body could keep going with that much pressure on the heart. Well, I don't understand it either. You might tell him that. But I don't think it'd encourage him. Truth of the matter is the liabilities are slight. But the fear that something horrible might happen lends him all the potential of having something bad happen. He flinches. He's still protecting the body he's got in present time. And he's liable to back off and back out and get out of there. Flinch. You'll see PCs doing it every once in a while. Now, probably he would straight list to clear. You'd find his goal any old way, and he'd just straight list to clear if it weren't for this body factor in present time and rough auditing and other little factors that enter into it. Because these make him flinch off from confronting and putting together the total packages as he passes them. Here he goes down the line, and you find an item, and you get the opposition to the item, and you find another item, and you get the opposition to the item. You find a goal, and you got the goal, and he lists very ambitiously in the first 40 items on each of the first four lines that we were originally doing. And if nothing got in the road of his body, that is to say, it didn't look to like his body was suffering too much, and if he wasn't suffering to that degree, and the auditing was very smooth, and a lot of other conditions, why, then he'd get the next 40 or 50 items, and he'd get the next 40 or 50 items, and all of a sudden he'd pair a couple of them up. And then he'd go to the next 40 or 50 items, and he'd go to the next 40 or 50, and he'd pair another one up. And he'd say where this was, and the next thing you know, the needle's getting looser and looser and floppier and floppier. And all we had to do at the end of that line was clean up a few of the bits and pieces, and he was clear. Do you understand that? All right, let's take some other PC. And this PC, we get a terminal, and we get an opposition terminal. We get any old way. We find his goal, and we've got his goal, and now we're going to list from the goal who or what would want to catch catfish, who or what would not want to catch catfish, who or what would not oppose catching catfish, and who or what would oppose catching catfish, in wrong order, the last two. And we busily list him down the line, clackety-clackety-clackety-clackety, and he gets down to 20. And the needle went clack, 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 bang, 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 bang. And there was a horrible pain at that moment, went straight through his brain. And he knew that he was going to go deaf or something of the sort if it stayed there. Well, he put the truck into full speed astern. He re-stimulated this item, see? Now he's put the item down, flinched from it, and the next item up the line he simply puts down, and it's a little bit further away from it, and a little bit further away from it, and you've got a partially re-stimulated item versus a totally non-found bypassed item. He ain't gonna go any further. He's going to go pocket to pocket to pocket to pocket. He'll give you items. He'll give you items. We know now he'll give you thousands, tens of thousands of items. He keep going. His tone arm goes up and sticks. And then you give him a prep check, and it comes down. It goes up and sticks again. And it goes up and sticks again. Then you straighten him all out and get the gold firing, and everything is fine. Everything's beautiful. And then you list a few more lines on some other pattern of lines, and the tone arm goes up and sticks. What's happened? All that additional listing had gotten him not 5 feet further beyond pair E and F. Okay, that's as far as he got. He ticked E and doesn't even know of the existence of F. So he goes 5 feet further than that, and that's it. The car just struck on the road. It's just like having a jack under the rear axle. Doesn't matter how much acceleration you give it. It doesn't matter how much you fool around. Doesn't matter how smoothly you want it or how you try to persuade the PC on down the road. He's going no further. He's stuck in the mystery sandwich. What's the repair, then? Repair's actually very simple. By any means, find the bypassed pair. If he was lucky enough to have been doing a written list at the time all this began, all you have to do is null the list. Find the rock-slamming item and oppose it. If you weren't doing a written list, why, just get him to list a few more. He'll give you the same bordering item again. He's been giving it to you every session. Every session that had 600 items in it, one of them had a polecat in it. He's mentioned this polecat a lot of times. The polecat is very suppressed. This polecat, you know which one it is because he'll sigh before he puts it down. It produces actually a physiological reaction. He isn't going to go close to that polecat. He suppressed that polecat, see? Well, you do that, and you take over the list, and you'll find out it'll stay in with a tick. And when you tiger drill the last three or four items that are left in, one of them will be the polecat, and the rock slam will open up again because the suppression will come off of it. And it'll go wham, 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 wham. And then you want who or what would oppose a polecat, or who or what would a polecat oppose, depending on whether or not it turned on pain or sin. You got the pair, and now he's ready to go on down the road. He won't go until then. Now, all good auditing aside, all bad auditing aside, or anything else, that's the basic mechanism of what happens to a clear when clearing hangs up. Now, there's many ways you can make the PC not confront items. You could get the PC so ARC broke. You could get the PC so upset. You could get the PC so worried. You could get the PC this. Your auditing could be so lousy. All kinds of things could happen that would distract the PC off his case so he couldn't list, don't you see? It all bags up to the fact that the worse he's audited, the more likely he is to bypass a reliable item. That's all that adds up to. But even with fairly crude auditing, you still should be able to find the item. Now, supposing you couldn't get him to list from that goal anymore, you couldn't get the thing to, it's so submerged that you couldn't find this item and so forth, I got good news for you. Just find the next pair that is due to be found any way you want to find them, and that'll be the next pair, and that'll be the pair that he bypassed when you were listing originally. Quite remarkable. It's always the right next pair. We should be so lucky. It's very astonishing if you take up the line plot with a PC and plot every pair that you find, and so on, it doesn't matter how you discover the next pair. You won't ever find a pair beyond the pair that you hadn't found. Now, you can press your luck. Early in the case, you can press your luck. You can find an op term and an op term and even an op term by represents or some such fashion. And all you're doing is hunting down there the You're getting closer to what was really slamming. And you got these three now. And now you can get a terminal. But the funny part of it is you ask for the terminal against the last one, and you get the terminal that belongs to the first one. You get what I mean? In other words, that goes on to the line plot where it belongs, not where you thought it went. You understand? You've got A, B, and C as op terms. You've got op term A, B, and C. See? And then you say, who or what? You're going to find a terminal. Now you're going to say, who or what would oppose C? And you list it out that way. You have yourself a ball listing it out that way. And, of course, those of you who indulge in the novelty of asking the PC something about his case would find out after you had listed it and found it. Yeah, oddly enough, you can list it. You can list, you know, this who or what would oppose C, and weirdly enough, line up with what posed A. It belongs up here at opposition to A. And after you found this thing, you say to the PC, look at there, look at there, look what opposes B or C, you know. Look what we finally found what opposed C. Of course, you wouldn't do that. That's direct evaluation. If you ask him, what does this oppose, and just gave him the three things, he will put it in the proper place right now, and it'll be A. You sometimes can go early in the case only. You can go well past and leave two or three of them behind you. But the first opposition you find belongs to the first pair. So you really never got by the first pair at all, did you? The PC was just hung up to that degree. And the more you find out of sequence, and the more you try to find them out of sequence, and the more desperately you try to avoid finding them in pairs, the harder it is to find them, and the smaller the rock slam will become, and the more difficult it is to go down that road. The more difficult it is to find goals, the more difficult it is to get anything to slam, anything of the sort. But as long as you find them in pairs, you're clearing the individual. You can clear somebody by finding that sequence of pairs. But you'd have to start paying attention if you were never going to find the goal. You'd have to start paying attention after a while to the not opposition factor. You'd have to get things that didn't oppose things. You'd have to get the other parts of the dumbbells because you'd be likely to pass them after you've gone a while because you're not being assisted by the pat wording of step six in our routine 321. So you'd lay an egg to that degree. But you theoretically, allowing for that factor, theoretically could clear somebody clear on down to the end. The time he found his goal, it would simply be a small explosion in the middle of nothingness and the whole bank would fold up and that would be the end of that and he would be a first goal clear. In theory, you could do this. So as long as you're finding these pairs, you're advancing the case. And it doesn't matter whether you have the goal or don't have the goal, if you can find pairs, you're advancing the case. Because clearing is not a matter of finding the goal. Clearing is a matter of straightening up the goal's problem mass and vanishing it. It most easily vanishes from the goal by taking the goal. That's the easiest route. But other routes exist by which this could be done. Lately, we have been finding some. We find out that you sort of erase the PC and the goal sits there in the chair. In other words, you give them problems intensives and problems intensives and problems intensives and you wind up with something that looks like you got the goal. Apparently there are other ways of springing the goal and there are other things that would happen along this line. Old routine 2 apparently was capable of making a clear. And that was a goalless clear, don't you see? And I've been working on something that without finding the PC's goal, you would clear a person in a clearing co-audit. Now, of course, the joke is, of course, that you would just go so long and the PC would lay his goal in your lap. That would be inevitable. I don't think you could go a third of the way down this track without the PC discovering his basic purpose because he is now totally surrounded by it. You see what you're doing. You see what you're doing. So you think that you're wasting time up to the moment when you find the PC's goal. Not if you've got a balanced line plot.
All a goal's going to do for you is give a balanced line plot that's more easily gotten. You see that? It's very funny. You found maybe six pairs, and it's all fine. And then you find the PC's goal in great triumph and list the first four lines from that goal, and you say, now we're really going to go someplace. Of course, you're going to get this faster, so on. And all you wind up with is the next pair in sequence. Of course, after that, you can find pairs in sequence with the greatest of ease. But that's the way it goes. Now, there is the layout of the GPM. That's actually all you're trying to do. If you integrate what you know and what you've been fumbling with, and integrate it around this fact, that it only takes perfect auditing to achieve it, why, you got it made. There is a way to audit this. There is a way to be smooth about auditing. There is a way to handle PCs. These things have all been figured out. And if you've got those things taped, you do this other, you're just getting matched pairs, you wind up with a clear. Inevitably and invariably. You couldn't possibly get away from it. Do you see that? So you're trying to not split the atom. You're trying to split the GPM right down the middle. And when you split it right down the middle, the reactive mind disappears down to the point of the first goal. And you split it the additional distance to the second goal and so forth. These pairs evaporate and discharge when they are found and when the goal is found and reintegrates into them. Do you understand this? All right. Thank you very much.